I want to continue searching for strength for the journey in the beloved 23rd Psalm. We'll look at this phrase for a few moments tonight. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Decisions, decisions. Life is just a series of decisions, isn't it? From where do you want to go to eat? Do y'all have that conversation? Where do you want to go to eat? And it seems like nobody wants to make the decision until a decision is made and somebody doesn't like that particular restaurant. From the very small decisions to very large decisions, life is just one decision after the other. We make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. We're a product, really, of our decisions in so many ways. And it can be very stressful making decisions. And then there's the stress of indecision, just not being able to make a decision. And we know the stress that comes from that. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now that phrase is found in James chapter 1, and the context is prayer. Notice what James says. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So James is saying, this double-minded man is a person who's praying, trusting one moment, doubting the next, wavering in his faith. But that same instability is experienced when we have difficulty making a decision. We waver back and forth. And again, that brings so much stress into our lives. But with that type of stress and that just a common situation that we encounter having to make decisions, there's this statement. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And really, that's the antidote to this stress of decision making. To know that the shepherd watches over us and leads us. I've entitled this lesson, O Blessed Thought. And that comes from a song that we sing from time to time. The words written by Joseph Gilmore. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hand, He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. He leads me. And it is a blessed thought to know that our shepherd leads us. He's given us guidance through His word, wisdom when we ask for it. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Since it's written by David, the shepherd, I want us to think about sheep for a few moments and realize how we have a lot in common with sheep. Sheep need guidance, and so do we. Jeremiah said, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We need guidance. We need direction, just like sheep need a shepherd. Sheep tend to stray. There are several verses that allude to this. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In that beautiful passage, Isaiah 53, a prophecy concerning Jesus and what he would do for us on the cross, the prophet alludes to, by God's guidance, he alludes to the fact that we're like sheep and that we go astray. We go our own way. And how God would lay upon him, that suffering servant, speaking of Jesus, all our iniquity. Psalm 119, the psalmist alludes to the fact that sheep stray. I have gone astray like a lost sheep, he says to God. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. 1 Peter 2:25. Peter writes to Christians. He says, you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And he's speaking of the Lord there. The shepherd and overseer of your souls. I read about a lady that was visiting what we call the Holy Land, Palestine. And she came upon a shepherd who was watching over his flock. But her attention was drawn to a particular sheep who was bleating, seemingly out of pain. And so she went closer to the sheep and noticed that indeed this sheep was in pain. One of its legs was injured. And she inquired about this sheep to the shepherd. And the shepherd responded, yes, I had to inflict the pain in that sheep, because that sheep was prone to wander. And so I injured it purposefully so that I could take care of it and nurse it back to health. And because of the loving relationship that will be established as I care for this sheep, in the future she'll come instantly when I call to her. The woman replied thoughtfully, sometimes we poor human sheep also want our stubborn ways, and as a result, we stray into dangerous paths. And the shepherd sometimes allows us to encounter that danger and even get hurt, but then he calls us to him and wants to nurse us back to health to the point where we'll trust the shepherd more and more. So sheep tend to stray. Sheep tend to be selfish, so do we. Again, that Isaiah passage, we have turned everyone to his own way. It's easy to picture a sheep in search of this delicious-looking tuft of grass and wandering from the flock, away from the shepherd, but going its own way. We're selfish like those sheep. You may have heard the story of two friends who met for dinner in a restaurant. Each of them ordered fillet of sole. And when the waiter brought their food to them, there was two pieces of fish on this one platter. One was much larger than the other. So one of the men took the platter and served the plates. And he put the small piece of fish in his friend's plate, put the large piece in his own plate. And his friend just erupted. What are you doing? He said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, you put that small piece on my plate and you took the big piece for yourself. And his friend said, well, if you would have done it, what would you have done? He said, well, if I would have been serving the fish, I would have put the big piece in your plate and I would have taken the smaller one. And his friend replied, well, isn't that what happened? And they both laughed at it. But their story reveals really our problem with selfishness. Just like sheep tend to be selfish, so do we. And following our own way leads to broken relationships, broken dreams, broken hearts, broken lives. But sheep also can't see very far ahead. They don't know if this grass or this path may lead to a greener pasture or off of a cliff. They need that guidance of the shepherd. You and I can't see very far into the future, not far at all. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The proverb says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And how many times have we recognized the truth of that passage? We don't know what's going to happen. So we too must learn to depend on the shepherd. Sheep tend to stumble, and so do we. We all stumble in many things, James says. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. But we stumble in many things, especially our words. And there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a lot that we have in common with sheep. So as we look at this shepherd's psalm, we see, secondly, how much we need the guidance of the shepherd. Life is a journey filled with decisions, but God has given us a roadmap or a compass. There was an older man who repeatedly took his boat out and got lost at sea. And his friends purchased for him a compass. And they told him, just use that compass and you won't get lost and you'll be able to find your way back. Well, he went out and it wasn't long before he got hopelessly confused again and was unable to find land and had to call for help. So his friends went out into the ocean and finally found him, brought him back in, and they were frustrated. Why didn't you use your compass to give yourself some direction in knowing which way to go? The older man responded, well, I didn't dare to. I wanted to go north. But as hard as I tried to make the needle aim in that direction, it just kept on pointing southeast. He just knew that the direction that was actually southeast was actually north. So he tossed the compass as being worthless. Well, the Bible is God's guidebook. It's a compass. But if we don't read it and heed it, we're going to get lost. The psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. No, it doesn't tell us every detail. It doesn't map out our lives with every detail, but it gives us principles to follow. And we'll notice a few of those in a moment. But God's will is found in God's word. It must be a constant companion of ours if we would maneuver through life in the way he intended. If we would find those paths of righteousness. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's the only guidance that the shepherd will give. Only in paths of righteousness. If ever our course ends up in a path that isn't righteous, we cannot say the Lord led us in that direction. He only leads us in paths of righteousness. And that path is not necessarily the convenient path, the easy path, the most popular path. In fact, it's often none of these. Remember what Jesus said. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who find it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So the key to following the Good Shepherd in those paths of righteousness is to submit our lives to him. You may remember the story, actually, it's reported to me as a true story. It scares me to think about this. There's an older, a newly retired couple that purchased, they cashed in some stocks and bonds and purchased a fine motorhome. And they were going out in that motorhome out on the West Coast. And one of the features of this fine motorhome was cruise control. And they were enjoying that. The husband was very much so. But he'd been driving a while, and so he got tired, and so he asked his wife to drive, and he would go into the back and take a nap. Well, she started driving and set the cruise control, and things were going just fine on a straight highway. And she decided, well, this is going so well, I'm just going to get up and go to the bathroom. You see, she was thinking cruise control meant automatic pilot. And when she left the wheel, of course, there was an accident. The motorhome was totaled, but neither partner was hurt, thankfully. God doesn't want us to live on cruise control. It's submission that he's looking for, submission to his leadership. It's to have the attitude of Jesus as he prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but yours be done." As I said, the Word of God provides principles. It provides truths that are to guide us. Because a question that's often asked is, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? And I want to give you some guidelines from God's Word to help answer this question. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Okay, I want to know, what is God's will for my life? Here are four guidelines. Number one, it is God's will that you be saved. John 6, verse 40, for example, "This is the will of Him who sent me," Jesus says, "that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of Him who sent me, that you be saved." He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. So there's a guideline. What is God's will for my life? He wants me to be saved from my sins through Jesus. He wants me to obey the gospel. He wants me to continue to walk in the light of His Word so that the blood of Jesus can continue to cleanse me from my sins. Because God's will is that every one of us and every person be saved. Number two, it is God's will that you and I be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." Sanctification, holiness is the idea. It's God's will that we be holy. "Be holy as I am holy," 1 Peter chapter 1. So it's God's will for us to live holy lives. We're set apart in Christ, and we're set apart in Christ to do His will, to be holy. And that means refraining from some things, the wrong things, but engaging in the right things. It's God's will that we be sanctified, that we be holy in His sight. Number three, it's God's will that you serve Him, that you serve Him. "For we are His workmanship," Paul says of Christians, "created in Christ Jesus for good works." That's what we're recreated in Christ to do, to be about, is to go about doing good, just as Jesus did. God prepared these good works beforehand that we should walk in them. He wants us to use whatever talents and abilities He's given to us in service to Him by serving others. Three guidelines. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to serve Him. And listen carefully to this last one, this fourth guideline, determining what is God's will for my life. And it's this: do what you think is best. Do what you think is best. If you're saved, if you're sanctified, if you're serving Him, then God's will for your life is whatever you think is best. Because if our focus in life is to follow Jesus, to do His will, to be about serving God and serving others, then we have a lot of latitude. Beyond that, He has no specific will. As long as I'm serving God with all my heart and soul and mind, it's of minor significance where I am. I like this statement by Alan Smith. "The will of God doesn't mean that God has planned out all the details and made all the decisions about what we should do with every aspect of our lives. It simply means that God wants us to do whatever will bring Him the glory." Folks, I really can't be any more specific than that. He hasn't mapped out each individual life, but He has called us, instructed us through His Word to be saved, to be sanctified, to continue to serve Him. And then how we do that, what occupation we choose, where we choose to live, etc. He's left a lot of that up to you and to me. This doesn't exhaust that subject by any means, but I think these are four guidelines that are definite that He wants for you and for me. But are we seeking to follow Him? Are we seeking to follow the shepherd? I want to go back to Isaiah 53 verse 6 one more time as we close. The prophet reminds us how we're a lot like sheep and we need the shepherd's guidance. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And again, as we mentioned earlier, he's pointing to Jesus. And notice what he tells us about what Jesus would do. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He knows we're a lot like sheep. He knows we're selfish. And because of that, we're going to make wrong choices. We're going to sin in His sight. But God knows that about us. So even 700 years before Christ, and even before He created the world, He had this plan. The plan by which to save man. When Jesus would take upon Himself our sins and die, so that we might have forgiveness and the opportunity to live for Him and to live with Him in heaven one day. In order for that to happen, we've got to submit our lives to the shepherd. If it's your desire to do that tonight, to obey the gospel, if it's your desire tonight, perhaps as a sheep who's wandered astray that needs to come back home, please let that be known. If we can pray with you or for you, if you need to respond, please come right now as we stand and sing.